Well, following a year-long investigation, two Sydney law firms have lodged class action to tackle degenerative brain disease affecting rugby league players. The lawyers have support from many players who have volunteered their brains for research into chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Questions have been raised as to whether sporting codes need a revamp of regulations and a need for greater awareness of these injuries and the issue in general. Well, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Alan Pearce, the Associate Professor in the School of Allied Health at La Trobe University, to discuss. Alan, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. So, to start off with, can you describe what chronic traumatic encephalopathy is?
Yeah, it's probably easier just to say CTE.
Let's say that. Yeah.
Let's go with CTE. So CTE is a neurodegenerative disease. It's very similar to Alzheimer's and dementias. The point of difference really is that CTE is linked to repeated head trauma. So people who play contact sports, particularly the football codes, are a good example, but boxing as well, will show up as higher risk for this condition, which looks a lot like dementia or Alzheimer's in a clinic when a doctor assesses the person, but can only be diagnosed after an autopsy.
Okay, so the symptoms would be the same as those from dementia or so, but it wouldn't be easy to diagnose as CTE or conclude that that's what it is affecting.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. So most of the time, the patient will be diagnosed with Alzheimer's or some form of dementia, maybe possibly even Parkinson's disease, but it can't be confirmed until post-mortem.
Right, okay. And so you talk about repetitive head knocks or concussions. There seems to be a pressure to kind of play on in lots of, rugby culture to maintain the status of being, a tough male or that kind of thing. How do we kind of make the necessary cultural shift to recognise the significance of a concussion and get those players off the field?
That's right. That's really been the big question. And education is definitely part of it. It's trying to understand that it's not a badge of honour to take a concussion and then continue to play on. It's also not the same to, feel like you're letting your mates down if you are coming off to get assessed for a concussion. These are a lot of things that we're seeing with some of my research as well, is that we're seeing this sort of attitudinal difference between, concussions are bad and looks like you could get long-term outcomes. But, I'm still going to play through a concussion. I'm not going to tell my teammates or my coach that I could be concussed because I don't want to let them down. So it's that attitudinal shift that we've got to work on.
Yeah, right. And so who would you say is liable for all these preventable injuries?
That's a tough, tough question. I'm not even sure where to start on that. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I think we've got to realise is that we can't actually prevent concussions from occurring. They even happen in the workplace. They happen at school.
Sure.
So unless we do nothing, then that's pretty much the only way to stop a concussion. But, if you think about not doing any physical activity, what the other ramifications are of that. So I think we need to put that to one side. And what we really need to focus on is making sure that if someone is concussed, they get the best care and attention. And also they are, they know when they are able to go back to work, school, or playing sport.
Mm, and so I guess we'll see more regulations with that kind of thing in the future.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we can all do is actually get further research into that area. So at the moment, we just don't have enough research to be able to determine when you're ready to go back to play. For example, if you copped a knock on the head on the weekend, is it 1 week? Is it 10 days? Is it 2 weeks? Different people have different timelines as well. So we really need to invest in research to be able to understand what the individual response is and also know that that person's ready to go back. Because the other thing too is that symptoms recovery, so symptom resolution, doesn't equal brain healing. So we've got research to show that. So it's not about symptoms disappearing and honky-dory back to go. No, that's not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's easy from an outsider's point of view to continue playing and kind of hope that nothing has really been affected so that you can continue your career. I'm sure that's all part of it as well. And I mean, lots of people have donated their brains now to research, so hopefully we do see some developments in this area. Alan, thank you very much for your time on the show.
Thanks for having me again. No worries.
Okay, have a good day. That was Associate Professor in the School of Allied Health at La Trobe University, Dr. Alan Pierce, speaking to us about the degenerative brain disease, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, which affects sports players and others involved in contact sports. If you did miss that interview, you can head on over to our website, 2SER.com, for the full podcast.